Hey everybody, it's Aaron here from The Spotlight. Thanks for tuning in and listening to some of our episodes. You can hear new episodes of The Spotlight every week on Acaville Radio. We're at acaville.org. You can catch us in the Apple App Store or on TuneIn Radio. And if you're a member, you can hear back episodes of all of our shows anytime you want. Check out membership information over at acaville.org. Thanks so much. You're listening to community-supported Acaville Radio, streaming a cappella around the clock at acaville.org. Acaville, giving listeners worldwide something to sing about. I'm delighted to be joined in the spotlight this episode by Stiletta out of New York City. Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
For folks who don't know all the crazy goodness that you guys are doing, help fill folks in with the backstory. How did the group get started?
So, hi, I'm Judy Minkoff. I'm the founder of Stiletta, and the backstory is basically that I've been singing a cappella my whole life, and I've been dancing my whole life, but I've never had any organization that merged the two passions of
mine.
So, when I came to New York, I decided that I was going to make said organization. So I came up with the idea for Stiletta. I actually slaved and slaved for like months over the right name. I have, you should see the list of the craziness that I came up with.
I've seen it.
Have you?
It's great.
Is it in fact crazy, as she says?
Let's just put it this way. They're glad that I picked the name that I did.
Do you remember any of the contenders off the top of your head?
I think there was something with kittens.
I think we were almost Edge of Vanity.
That has some edge.
But among the like weird ones, I had like the Vovos and
the Volvos.
A real pleasure to hear, but boxy. The Volvos. Yeah.
Family friendly.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
So when I came to New York, I sort of conceptualized this group that I wanted to make, which was an all-female group. I knew I wanted exactly six members. I would include one beatbox, one bass, and then four people to have one lead, and then three throw in the harmonies underneath the lead. So I knew I had actually strategically planned it out.
So the voicing you already had in your head before you...
In fact, I already had a website, a Facebook site, the name. I had three arrangements before I even auditioned anyone.
That's impressive. That makes it easier to audition folks, I would think, because you have a target in mind.
Right. Well, I wanted, when I threw up the website for Stiletta, I wanted the people coming in to audition to see that we were already established. Like, I wanted to look like we were already a professional thing, that we were already going, we were already doing something. Then surprise!
Then the rude awakening, but, you know, that's all right.
So the very first thing I did was scout my beatboxer. So MC Beats over there.
Nice.
She happens to be the third female in the world ranked beatboxer.
And about to defend the crown here pretty soon.
Yes.
Yeah, girl.
2 weeks from now.
That's impressive. That's very awesome. I want to talk to you more about that because there's lots going on there, but I want to finish the origin story too.
Yep. So I scouted her and I invited you to some of the auditions and whatnot to kind of show off for the girls. I'm like, hey, look what we have.
Now, when she came and you were sort of getting a glimpse of what the vision was, were you like right on board right away, or were you like, oh, I don't know?
No, she pretty much got me right on board.
She sold you right away.
Yeah. Her idea was just intriguing to me, and to be one of a kind in the world, you know, something that I really admire that she thought of and created and really had passion for it. So I was really on board really quick.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. And then I started auditioning the girls, and I auditioned. Over time, I've auditioned over 100 women for these spots.
Wow.
And this is really the cream of, you know, the cream of the cream, whatever that actual
cream of the crop.
I'm terrible with this.
She has a doctorate,
though,
ladies and gentlemen.
For that.
Thank you. Cream of the crop of New York City. And I knew I wanted someone who could rap. And so I pulled in Meg, who also has a phenomenal voice, but she's a fantastic rapper. Can say words a lot better than I can.
Cream of the cream. Judy, you can rap as well.
Yes, you can. And you know, I wanted a bass with a really, you know, ridiculously low end.
Right.
And she sings lower than pretty much anyone else I know,
except female,
for males.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And, probably a useful characterization, yeah.
And then we just got together and started up, and we have so I had you know, real intensive dance auditions for them too. We had the singing part, and then we had for the callbacks, the people I thought vocally sounded like someone I would want in the group. I also had dance auditions, so I pulled them all in. I have we have a choreographer. Her name is Christine Murray, and she teaches at the Broadway Dance Center in New York City. So I had her come in and teach a little segment of one of the songs that we would be learning, and basically videoed it and watched it back and chose my girls.
It seems like the combination of dance and a cappella is sort of taking two incredibly hard things and then having to do them both at the same time. And I wonder how, I mean, how do you do that? How do you maintain the stamina to do that? And I mean, that just requires you, I would think, to be in really good shape both vocally and physically.
We work out. I think that that's something that we've really been finding is sort of an evolution. I think at first we were like all, you know, doing the vocals really strong, the choreography really strong. And and then we kind of had to take a step back and say, okay, well, what's at this moment in the song, what's the intention? What's the focal point?
Right.
And kind of determining when to pull back on choreography, when to go hard on it. So it's been sort of like a push and pull kind of a thing. But I mean, also we have built stamina over time, so it's
sure,
you know, that's improved.
It requires a lot of choreographic humility. Like, for example, Jamie created this amazing dance thing for Royals at the very beginning that we went through, and then we sang it at the same time, and we were like, oh wait, these moves are really cool, but we can't sing it at the same time.
Right.
A lot of modification. A lot of the big dance breaks we do when MC Beats is doing her breakdown thing. So, you know, we're not singing, but we move basically the whole time, no matter what.
Right.
We're always moving in some fashion.
I think our theory is, like, as long as it's enhancing the performance and not taking away from it, then, then it's
right.
Good.
Like, there's a section in Wings that we used to do really hard choreo the whole song at Wings, and we found at the end we were so out of breath that we didn't know how we were going to continue. So we literally just took choreo out for an entire chorus, and we just jam in a line in the front of the stage, and it works so much better because we can put a little bit of our own personalities into it and catch our breath.
And last year, before Sing Strong 2014, we actually, Judy gave us a cardio challenge.
Oh my.
And so in our rehearsal period.
Just 1 second, because being in the group is not a cardio challenge enough.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, come on. But all right, go ahead.
But in order to prepare for the show, we basically had to keep track and log our cardio hours, and whoever won, I won.
Haley won.
She promised a new pair of shoes.
That's a good incentive. That's impressive.
It definitely was.
As you guys, because dance being such a focal point, I would think that on the part of the choreographer, and as you guys are doing choreography as well, do you have to incorporate moments of sort of relative stillness in order to make the bigger pieces seem bigger? I mean, vocally, through vocal arranging, obviously you do that all the time. It's part about having a good and effective song. Is that true on the choreo side as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times we sort of look for what comes naturally. Like, what is it that we all sort of naturally feel in that moment of the song? And then we work off of that. So if we all kind of feel like we need to be standing still at that one point, then we will put that in. And if we all feel like we're moving, well, maybe we'll just jam, or maybe we'll actually put some real choreography to it. It just depends.
Yeah, as it evolves through the song. Now, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about the beatboxing legend that's going on over here on the side. But before I do that, I feel like I would be depriving our listeners if they didn't get a chance to hear you. So let's hear a tune from Stiletta, and then we'll come back on the other side and talk with MC Beats. Here they are doing a mashup. It's Let It Rock 2-3. Here's Stiletta.
Say, are
Well done.
Thank you.
And it's a nice intro to talk about the value of beatboxing and what you do. First, where did this start for you? Where did the beatboxing journey begin?
It began about 6 years ago. Really, it was just through a YouTube video. I saw a man beatboxing and fell in love with the art. Originally, I was in high school. I knew beatboxing was like... more of like the vocal percussion side of it. And his name is Beardy Man, but he was actually doing all kinds of electronic sounds. And I was like, this is amazing. And every single day since I saw that video, I just practiced. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I don't care what it takes. I'm doing it. So.
And so how did that lead to the first trip to Europe for the championships or the competition?
At that point, I guess I was beatboxing about 2.5 years. And I was a really big promoter of beatboxing. I was the first female to really promote bass, the vocal bass. So I sort of gotten known for doing like and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so the man Bilo, he runs it in Germany, and he kind of found out about me and invited me over. And he just picked the top females that are in the world, and he follows beatboxing everywhere, and he invites us over. That's so that's how I end up going to the World Beatbox Championships. And that happens once every 3 years.
I was going to ask, so what happens in the intervening time? So that makes sense. So the next one's coming up in a couple weeks, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to prepare for that? It seems like a very idiosyncratic thing to really work on a lot.
Well, there's the format. So I know that the elimination round's 2 minutes, so I have to come up with a 2-minute strong set. The battle is 1.5 minutes, A-B-A-B. So each battle itself would be 3 minutes that I have to come up with.
Oh, I see, sure.
So yeah, it would be me, 1.5 minutes, my competitor, 1.5 minutes, me, 1.5 minutes, and competitor, 1.5 minutes, and then they judge, and whoever wins goes on to the next round.
Gotcha.
There's quarterfinals, semifinals, and then finals. So I know how much I have to prepare for.
Right.
I do research, so I kind of know who my components are.
Yeah, yeah.
My opponents.
Yeah.
And components of myself.
She's a robot, so she... And also, I know that Megan, she said this already, but she's constantly practicing, which means, like, when we're waiting in line at the airport, it's just so much more fun.
That's true. Dance breaks all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, walking around everywhere, I'm kind of making noises. So.
Is there an overlap in terms of some of the beats that you lay down for Stiletta in terms of, and what you would do in the course of a set for the competition?
Yes. One of our songs, When Love Takes Over, we have probably like 30-something seconds, and I'm actually going to use that in Germany, as long as I keep passing rounds. Right. Which I will.
Of course, exactly.
Putting it out into the universe right there.
Yeah, and I would say also, as far as Stiletta arranging goes, I never really write out a beatbox part for Megan. I'll write some sort of a vocal percussion guide, and I always encourage her to be creative and make it something that's more her, because her sound is so integral to who I want us to be, you know, what our sound is as a group. Because we really want to be pushing the boundaries on female acapella. We want to be sounding more electronic and dancey and more edgy.
Yeah. How I was going to ask you, so over the time, from the initial vision that you had in your head when you were founding the group to now, how has the sound evolved? I mean, how is it different than it was when it was in your head all those years ago?
It's pretty similar for the most part, but it has definitely evolved. I think that I started us out with a kind of more bubblegummy vibe. Our first website, our first business cards were all like pinks and blues and pretty little, like a shoe that I, you know, drew, and sort of looks very cartoony and goofy. So it was very bubblegummy, and I sort of had the Britney Spears and like Katy Perry kind of image in my head. And now I think we're sort of transitioned more into like a more sophisticated group where we're really, I don't know,
we're women.
Yes, yeah. Right. We're women, not girls. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so now we're more into like the Beyoncés of,
yes,
of the world.
Yes. Oh, Beyoncé. Mm. Let's just take a minute of praise.
So it's evolved in that way, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, we're going to let our listeners also take a moment as well and praise and think about Beyoncé as we take a break. We're going to hear more from Stiletta after the break and talk more with them about everything else that's going on in their world. So stay with us.
You're listening to community-supported Acaville Radio, streaming a cappella around the clock at acaville.org. Great music, no strings. Or brass. Or...
That was the first half of our segment with this group on the Spotlight. If you want to hear the rest of the interview, more songs and all kinds of good stuff, become a member of Acaville. We're a nonprofit, and we rely on memberships to help keep the station going. You can find out all the details over at acaville.org. Members get lots of benefits, including listening to back episodes of many of our shows anytime you want, including this one. Check it out. Thanks so much.